from a practical perspective, first of all, are you using the 70 Dream Signature clinically outside of a trial setting?
Well, at my institution, I personally don't. There are other clinicians who do use it. I think when these assays were rolled out about a decade ago, one of the major advantages of the Oncotype assay versus the MammaPrint assay is that the Oncotype could be done on paraffin-embedded tissue in patients who already had surgery, whereas the MammaPrint had to be prospectively collected and fresh. The MammaPrint assay has been available now for a number of years based on paraffin tissue. So I think that was one factor that sort of drove greater use of the Oncotype early on. The second was that the assay, the Oncotype assay, was prospectively validated in cohorts that really addressed the clinical utility of the assay. That is, as a predictive test to identify which patients derive the greatest benefit from chemotherapy. In other words, it was tested in cohorts of patients who were randomized to chemotherapy or not. That is the B20 trial and the 8814 trial. So that really provides the highest level of evidence supporting the clinical utility of an assay, at least with regard to its predictive power.
And you know, I was just flashing on one of the first CME projects I ever did. I don't know, it must have been 100 years ago, but was we tried to put together every prognostic model. This is before Oncotype, that was out there to predict prognosis in breast cancer. And we would, you know, it was like, I think we used the computer, but there were so many prognostic assays. But as you said, the big thing that Oncotype was different was in terms of the effect of chemotherapy. And, you know, even after this description you gave of the trial, in a way, I still have a little bit of trouble looking at this. But when I try to look at the paper and I look for, you know, this issue of chemotherapy, you see one of the things we just went through was the clinical high, genomic low, where you see it looks like a little bit of a benefit of chemotherapy. And then the other thing is that I think it was the genomic high, clinical low, I think there was no benefit of chemotherapy. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah. Again, the randomization here is not a truly randomized study because the randomization is a chemotherapy based on the genomic criteria or the clinical criteria. So it is a difficult concept to wrap one's head around. But I think, again, the underlying principle, I think, is that these assays really should not replace clinical features. They have the greatest role in complementing clinical features.
Well, I guess, again, you could imagine that, I mean, these are different genes that they're looking at, different assays. I've heard people say, well, they all give the same results. But it's one thing about prognosis and other thing to try to predict benefit from chemotherapy. And you know, who knows what the actual formula is that really does predict benefit from chemotherapy. But it's just kind of disturbing to see it not exactly playing out in this trial the way it played out with Oncotype. At least that's sort of the way it looks. I don't know. You tell me.
Well, what's different about the MINDAC trial is that it's a truly prospective trial.
Right. That's true.
Whereas the B20 trial and 8814 was a prospective retrospective validation of a biomarker in a trial that had already been completed. So, you know, the highest level of evidence is provided by truly prospective trials. On the other hand, I think experts do recognize that the evidence provided by prospective retrospective types of studies that are done in clinical trial cohorts, where you predefine the biomarker that you're testing and the parameters and the question, provide as high a level of evidence as a truly prospective trial.